You know, I talked about the lap blanket ministry. I talked about the women being an important part of that. But you know, women are very important. They're like our other half. They have talents that most men don't have. And Jesus took advantage of that. Today, the pastor will be talking about the women in Jesus' life. I am looking forward to that message because it's going to be so inspiring. Because we are one in Jesus Christ. So, Pastor Stan, honor us with your presence.
It's an honor to be here in your presence. It is, as we go through the book of Luke, we encounter this little section in the scriptures. And it's Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 8. So I hope you're kind of getting used to this now, that I'm going to have you open up to your Bible. So please do that. It's a very short little scripture, but surprisingly rich in the amount of spiritual substance and the beauty of this scripture. And so we're going to read this and discover a little bit more about what God can do through the women that he calls through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay, I know that you have your Bible with you, and if we were to read it all together, we'd have different translations. It'd be really confusing, so why don't we use the one up here, okay? And we'll follow the one up here, all right? So, but hold the place in your Bible, because that's where you do all the marking and stuff. Okay, let's read this. Ready, go. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, impart the richness of your word to us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we go through the Gospels, we see a lot of things that are going on. Of course, we start off with some of the history of even before Jesus was born, before John the Baptist was born. And we find the main players in the Bible are pretty much men. That's what we find here, even in this scripture, that Jesus called men, and most of the stories is about the men. One of the things that I think happens here is as you have the main players being men, what happens is you miss all the people who are really are supports of that ministry. And really, leaders in a church or any organization have to really go out of their way to honor those who make it happen. The people who are leaders at the top of an organization, I hate to use that in this case, but I'm just using it practically, colloquially. Please understand that. Because really in the church, it's rather inverted. Really, those who are called to be at the top are called to be the first servants. And those who are called to go first. So, but please understand this in the way that I mean. But what happens is, you get the recognition up here, and then the people who really, through whom you are able to accomplish anything, sometimes gets forgotten. And so what happens is you have to make a special effort at recognizing those people. So the person who's writing this is a man named Luke. He's a doctor. He wrote a book before this. It's called the Book of Acts. And if you look at the Book of Acts, he wrote the whole book all the way to the pretty much almost to the end of Paul's ministry. It wasn't quite to the end, but pretty near the end of Paul's ministry. That means Luke was kind of old already when he finished the book of Luke. And then he wrote, when he finished the book of Acts, then he wrote the book of Luke. Getting the progress here? He wrote the book of Acts. He was able to see all that God has been doing through all his people. And then he went back and wrote the book of Acts to fill in the foundation of what happened before. So here he is. He's looking back now. He's looking back and he's seeing all the work that's happening in the church and the people that are coming to Christ. Now this whole movement is going on. And he chooses in what we would call today Luke chapter 8 to inject a little statement here. It's a rather short statement, but it's an incredibly powerful statement because I think it's the only statement such as like this that's being made about these women, specifically made about women. And the reason for that, there are other statements made about women, of course, but they're all in conjunction with something that happened. We just finished a section on Jesus and the woman that came to Jesus' feet. But that's an event that happened, right? At the death and burial, resurrection of Jesus, women are mentioned there quite a bit as well. I believe they're honored because of that. But that's because something happened. In this particular passage of Scripture, nothing has happened. And yet, Luke, looking back, is as if the Holy Spirit is saying to Luke, Luke, you know, just so that people don't forget, men get this attention and they get the recognition. They tend to be seen as those at the top of the organization. But I want people to know just how this organization happened and just who empowered it and who fueled it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And really, it's the heart and the spirit of these particular women here. So we find here in this story, Jesus is moving from village to village. If you were to look at a map and you see the Sea of Galilee over here, it would be just to the left of the Sea of Galilee is the area of Galilee. And they're moving from village to village, moving around, and they're ministering. And of course, the 12 are with them. But there are, Luke mentions that there are women there, lots and lots of women. So there are two things that seem to be happening, and I want to mention this right at the beginning. There are two things that are happening. Luke is grateful for the ministry of women. And I believe the Holy Spirit put that on his heart to write it in here, Luke chapter 8. Luke is grateful for the ministry of women, number one. Number two, the women are grateful for the ministry of Jesus. The women are grateful for the ministry of Jesus. Now let's take a look at what this says here. We find that Luke has been highlighting these particular women. In fact, there are lots of them. So if we were to look in chapter 8, verse 2. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "And also traveling with them were women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases." So here's something that's happened. Jesus has imparted some kind of blessing or benefit or something that has enriched their life. In this particular case, Jesus removed some malady that was haunting them, if you will. Some of these maybe in very literal ways. If you're haunted by a demon, evil spirit, you're haunted. There was one time I was called, among with others, to go and do and cast out an evil spirit from somebody who was attending Honolulu Christian Church. And six of us went. Not that we were afraid of the demon or anything, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But this particular woman and her father and her husband and her son had been practicing things that were entertaining and welcoming in, inviting in basically demonic practices. And so that's what happened, and we all went in there. Just to tell you what happened, this woman showed us all the things that were going on in the house, and we went throughout the house, and we told them, okay, this thing is inviting the enemy. This thing is inviting a demon. This thing is opening the door to evil spirits. So you need to get rid of those things. You can't be entertaining those kinds of things and hope that God, that these enemies are going to stay away. Not if you're welcoming them. Long story short, we sat down on the sofa, and a number of us were gathered around her, and she, and there was this barbecue outside. I shared this before, many years ago, though. There was this barbecue going on outside. We're kind of self-conscious about this, but we started praying for her. We were not praying loud, so we were not interrupting the barbecue. But then there was this shriek. This woman just started screaming, and and I asked her, what's going on? She says, there's this pain. There's this pain in my back. And this pain was moving around in her back. And she was telling us where it was, and we would lay hands on this person, and we would pray for that. And it was, and we were in hot pursuit. We were in hot pursuit of getting rid of that demon. And after a while, after a few moments, and it actually was about 20 minutes of prayer, that we just relentlessly prayed, and finally, all of a sudden, it was gone. And she was free. And it never came back. These things are real, and they happen today. But this was very common. If you look at Mary Magdalene, Mary Magdalene was delivered of 7 demons. By the way, if you look in your notes here, if you haven't taken out your notes, take out your notes. And under number 1, under bullet number 1, it says, these women show their gratitude to Jesus by volunteering their time and energy. So the first thing to write in there is time. They volunteered their time and their energy. So take note that these women were called by Jesus. The men disciples were called by Jesus, right? You come follow me. You come follow me. You follow me. You follow me. But the women volunteered. Did you get that? The women volunteered. They just went. Jesus didn't go and call them, but they went. They did it out of the bigness of their heart, the willingness of their heart. And Mary, who's called Magdalene, had 7 demons driven out of her. Now, if you think about this, if you have 7 demons in you, there's a good chance you will be a social outcast. For many of these people, it's very difficult to continue to interact in regular society. And so oftentimes they are marginalized. Jesus drove out those demons, and now she was able to enter into that fellowship. Now, I have to mention this, although it's not in the Bible here, that it's a common misunderstanding that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, or that she had some immoral corruption, immorality and things like that. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. If we were to think that about Mary Magdalene, you have to correct that in your mind. Sure, she had this demonic oppression, but there's nothing in the Bible that says she was an immoral person. She could be a very good person. She could be like you and me. So let's not categorize her as somebody who chose to walk an immoral path. We just finished talking last week about the sinful woman. That person was sinful, yes. Mary Magdalene, we have no indication of that, and we should not confuse those two. We see Mary Magdalene not only here following with Jesus, spending her time and her energy with Jesus, but we also saw her at the sentencing of Jesus with Pontius Pilate, at the crucifixion of Jesus, and at the resurrection of Jesus. She was there. She was faithful to her Savior. So if we were to, and she was one of the first witnesses, if not the first witness, of Jesus' resurrection. What a blessing that is. What an honor. Can you imagine Jesus thinking about her? Because he's not really stuck in his body, right? He is God. He has a body, fully man, fully God. But he's orchestrating things. Can you imagine Mary Magdalene has been so faithful. I'm going to allow her to be the first to see me resurrected. What an honor, what a blessing, being the first to be able to witness Jesus' resurrection. There was someone else named Joanna, the wife of Cusa, who is Herod's steward. The word steward is really the manager of the household. So this guy Cusa, now who is this guy? He is the guy who, if you were to have a household, King Herod had a big household, he needs somebody to manage his household. And so he appoints somebody, and that person has servants and things like that. Now, he would know all the inside scoop of all the politics. Can you imagine Herod and Cusa sitting down? Herod's had a hard day. Oh, man, what a day today. And Cusa's over there. I don't know if he said, tell me about it, sir, but he might have said something like that. And can you imagine all the things that Herod would share with his with his manager, with his steward. Joanna was Cusa's wife. Can you imagine how much she would have known about the household of Herod? You might wonder, as you read the Bible, the New Testament, how do they know? How do they know this information? Maybe it's somebody like Joanna, who was a follower of Jesus, who shared what was going on in Herod's household. They have a lot of different ways that that could have happened. That may have come through Joanna. Can you think about that? How about that, huh? So here's a woman with wealth, with stature, with influence. This one commentary writes this. He says, too many people, too many save their flowers for the grave. Joanna gave hers to Jesus when he was alive and could appreciate them. She was blessed to be able to give to Jesus when he was alive. Of course, when he did die, she was there to provide these embalming fluid. This is actually guava jelly. But this is the best I could do. Okay, so some estimates of 75 pounds of this. Can you imagine carrying 75 pounds of this to embalm somebody? And some suggest that she was the one who provided all of that embalming. The beauty at Jesus' death to provide the dignity of her Savior. She was cured of either an illness or evil spirit. She's numbered among them. And it numbers someone else is mentioned here, someone named Susanna. We're not really told anything about Susanna, but Susanna and many others. And what they did was they followed Jesus around, and if we were to be back there at that time, we would see lots of women in the presence of Jesus. We would just see lots of them. And how wonderful it is, right, to have the women, because they make things like lap blankets, right? They take care of little cuts on people's toes and things. A guy would say, here's a first aid kit, go, take care of it. A woman would see the cut, oh, okay, wash it off, wipe it down, put the Band-Aid on, you know. Those kinds of things, where women are there taking care of the needs of Jesus and the disciples. They also supported Jesus, number two, the bullet number two under there, helping support Jesus and his disciples. Write the word support in that blank. When you travel around, you have expenses. You have to stay in inns, or you have to pay for food. You have to pay for the rent a mule. And these women are mentioned as supporting Jesus and the 12 disciples. Literally, Luke is not afraid to say that these women enabled the ministry. If you ever wondered, how did the disciples get their food and money and things like that? It was the women. As a result, the women are honored in the Bible. Just as a bookend, Romans chapter 16, this is toward the end now of Paul's ministry. Toward the end of Paul's ministry, Luke is written at the beginning of Paul's ministry. Romans is written at the end of Paul's ministry. He identifies a lot of women in there who are in their part and parcel of the ministry. I'll just list them. Phoebe, and you can see what they were doing. Priscilla, Mary, Junius. Junius is an apostle. She was in prison with Paul. Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis worked hard for the Lord. Rufus was like a mother to Paul. Julia and Nereus's sister. All of these are listed in and among all the other men that are listed in Romans chapter 16. To me, that's a beautiful picture of really what the church is, and behind the scenes, how the women work to support all of that ministry. The 12 disciples may have been all men, But faithful women were used of God to fuel and enable that ministry. So what does this tell us? As the band comes up, I'd like to just share some thoughts here. This tells us that some people, some men look at the Bible and they say, well, you know, really the church is really all about men and women are incidental. That is not true at all. We find in the Bible, the Bible's testimony is that the women are right there with Jesus. Jesus healed them just as he healed the men. They fueled the ministry. They were there all the way to the end of his ministry, and they helped launch the church. We are here today because of what the women have done. And I'd like us to really think of on how we can honor, always honor and recognize those who are women. Sometimes we don't really overlook them in our church, but in if we did, we would want to not do that. So men, the Apostle Peter says, live with your wife in an understanding way. Honor them as the weaker vessel so that your prayers may not be hindered. Because they are co-heirs with you, fellow heirs with you in the kingdom. These are things, and these are the way that the church is instructed, God's church is instructed to honor women. So in this few verses, we find a powerful testimony of Luke himself, who is saying, let's give gratitude to God for the women in the church. And we find these women who are saying, let's give gratitude to God for all that Jesus Christ has done in my life. Lord, I pray that you help us to take this message and be people of gratitude, be people of honor and respect and lifting others up. And I pray, Lord, that we will always return to you a heart and a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing a song of thanksgiving. Thank God for godly women in our church who do so much for the ministry here at West Oahu. Okay, here we go.
Give thanks to the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
Give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us.
And now.
I pray that the example of the women would be an inspiration for you. Reflect back on what Jesus has done for you. Reflect back on the way he's changed your life, the way he's given you meaning and purpose, the way he's seen you through things. And let the example of these women be an inspiration for you to give your time, your devotion, your heart, and of your resources to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, thank you for these faithful women who supported you and the disciples and the ministry in those early years. We're reminded, Lord, that there is a very practical aspect to ministry. And Father, we pray that we would be honoring in the way we manage our finances. Thank you, Lord, that from a person like Mary, who is an outcast, to somebody like Joanna, who is socially powerful, all of these are in your church. Thank you, God. May this be a picture of what we can be here at West Oahu as well. We love you, Lord. Send us off, Lord, with your blessing and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus.